Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I am your host, J. Richard Jones, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. Today, we are going to talk about the history of submarines, especially as it relates to full electric battery-powered submarines. There's probably some areas here that our audience and listenership are going to find most interesting. And joining me to tell that story is Sol Garrido. She is the key account manager for North America, Navantia. Sol, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Hi, John. Thank you very much for hosting me today.
Oh, it's our pleasure and welcome. I have to ask you, Sol, so who did invent the first successful full electric battery powered submarine?
John, not many people remember or know that the Peral submarine was the first successful full electric battery powered submarine. It was built by the Spanish engineer and naval official Isaac Peral for the Spanish Navy in Arsenal de la Carraca, today's Navantia. Peral was the first fully capable military submarine in the world and was launched on the 8th of September, 1888. The first new submarine of Navantia, the S-81, is called Isaac Peral in honor of this Spanish genius who invented a submarine capable of launching torpedoes. So who was Isaac Peral? Let's talk a little bit about this incredible individual by reviewing his biography. Isaac Peral was born in June 1851 in Cartagena, Spain, where his father, a seaman in the Spanish Navy, was based. At the age of 14, he decided to join his brother Alejandro in the Naval Academy, Colegio Naval Militar de San Carlos. This was a financial sacrifice for the family, and he studied hard to get the best marks. At 16, after only 2 years, he joined the Spanish Navy as a midshipman. He also studied geography, physics, and astronomy. Peral took part in combat in the Third Carlist War in Spain and in Cuba. He was awarded a wide range of medals for his service. In 1881, Peral was serving as a second lieutenant and member of hydrographical team in the Philippines. Remember that from 1565 to 1898, the Philippines were part of the Spanish territory. While there, during a visit to the barber, he received a small cut in his temple, which caused lasting illness and later became the cause of his death. However, everything happens for a reason, and that accident facilitated in a certain way how facts developed. Because of his ill health, Peral could not travel anymore. So he was given a post in Cadiz, Spain, teaching in the new naval school, Escuela de Ampliación de Estudios de la Armada. There, he found time to pursue his idea of a full battery-powered submarine with a system to discharge torpedoes while underwater. So Peral's design for submarine was first conceived on 20 September 1884, when he wrote a paper which will become his Proyecto de Torpedo Submarino, meaning that project for a submarine torpedo boat. Sadly, as has happened many times throughout history, Isaac Peral was advanced for his time, a genius, and misunderstood by his contemporaries. Peral, frustrated with the group of senior naval engineers that were supposed to supervise his project, retired from active naval duty in November 1891. He established his family in Madrid, found an electric company, and is still inventing and patenting other inventions, such as an electric machine gun and the blueprints of the first electric power plant of Spain. So how impressive is that, John?
It is very impressive. And I know just before we started the show, we were talking a little bit about this. I thought it's very interesting how this invention came about. Can you share with us a little more of the details around the context and circumstances, Sol?
Yeah, absolutely. So, going back to the earlier stages of this fascinating part of human history, 19th century, after performing several studies and experiments and having gained support from his superiors and fellow officers, Peral presented his idea to the Spanish Navy staff. In September 1885, he wrote a letter to the Spanish naval minister, Vice Admiral Pezuela y Lobo. So Pezuela y Lobo called Peral to Madrid to have a personal interview with him. After the interview, Pezuela and Lobo agreed to finance Peral's preliminary studies in Cádiz with an initial budget of 5,000 pesetas. Pesetas is the former Spanish currency and it's equivalent nowadays to 30 euros. So that was the cost of the preliminary studies of the world's first battery powered submarine, only 30 euros. These studies were fundamental before launching a program to build a full-scale submarine boat. The entire cost of the construction of the submersible later on increased to almost 60,000 euros. The Peral submarine was the first practical submarine ever made. It was launched on September 8, 1888. And subsequently, in a test with naval authorities, it successfully completed a simulated attack on a cruiser at night without being detected and returned to port without any damage. Despite the great success of Peral submarine, a second project was rejected by naval authorities. The change in the agendas of the various politicians soon after the submersible's launch led to the detriment and operational viability of the vessel. The submersible had to undergo several recommended tests by the Spanish naval authorities on numerous occasions following its initial launch. Though this test proved that the vessel could indeed be operated with success, it was also decided that the Peral submarine was unsuitable to be used in active warfare due to its low speed. Peral was losing control over his project and grew frustrated. He destroyed the inside of the submarine and the plans to prevent foreign spies from copying it. Nowadays, the submarine Peral is presently exhibited as a maritime artifact in the hometown of its creator, Cartagena. Isaac Peral's submarine was not accepted by politician authorities, but it was accepted by the Navy. Isaac Peral paved the way for future submarine designs developed across various countries in the world.
Wow. So, Saul, why was it revolutionary?
Well, I have to say that the world submarine, the first trait that comes to mind is stealth. This stealth enables it to operate in conditions where only this type of vessel is capable of doing so. Another outstanding feature of a submarine is its high level of combat capacity that, together with the above-mentioned discretion, makes it an enormously powerful deterrent with great strategic value. Given that the mere possibility of one being in the area is in and itself a potential threat. Moreover, the range of missions that a submarine is capable of carrying out, both alone and as a part of a fleet, make it a key tool for any naval operation. Submarines operate in an environment that is naturally hostile for humans. The demanding conditions of the depth of the ocean require an extraordinary effort of engineering to design a vessel capable of operating safely in an environment of this kind. As a result, there are very few nations in the world that possess the technology and capacity to design and build a submarine. The Peral submarine was sleek and technologically advanced for its time, considered as the world's first electric battery-powered submarine. The hull was built with steel plates, and although its thickness would have allowed it to dive up to 30 meters, it only dove 12 meters, which was deep enough to pass under any ship of the time. It displaced 77 tons on the surface and 85 when submerged. It had 230 horsepower electric motors that were the most powerful built to date, and it was equipped with 613 battery cells. Its length was 22 meters with a beam of 2.87 meters, and it developed up to 10 knots of speed on the surface and little less, around 8 submerged. Other characteristics of the vessel include being fitted with a periscope to improve operations, equipping it with magnet-based needle to aid navigation, monohull vessel with suitable partitions to allow for better mobility of crew and weapons, and it had a crew of only 12 men. So, yeah, sounds impressive. Even for today's technology, it's impressive.
Certainly is. It's quite a history. It's quite a change. Let's talk a little bit about how things have evolved through time, especially in the design of lead acid batteries.
Yeah, sure, John. So after two centuries from this first submarine, improvements in the design of conventional lead acid batteries have increased endurance at low speeds. Many modern submarines, for example, can remain submerged for as long as a week to 10 days. This is an important improvement because it promotes covert operations and the ability to avoid detections by anti-submarine warfare forces. The development of air-independent propulsion system using fuel cells has provided even greater improvement. Nowadays, AIP-capable submarines like Navantia's S-80, equipped with fuel cells, are able to operate at low speeds underwater for weeks. For these reasons, diesel electric submarines are extremely effective platforms, operating very quietly while conserving energy for the post-attack escape. Because their electric motors are quieter than nuclear units and can even be shut off for a time, they are sometimes proposed as anti-submarine ambushers that will silently await their prey in areas through which enemy submarines are known to pass. AIP offers the possibility of other roles, such as operating in polar areas, tracking coastal shipping in anti-terrorist operations, or inserting special operation forces onto foreign shores. Modern diesel-electric submarines, AIP-capable or not, are thus affordable weapons platforms for many navies around the world that wish to defend their own coastal areas against all potential enemies. The S-80 represents a major advance in technology compared to the veteran Galerna-class submarines, which are still in operation under the Spanish Navy today. This evolution of almost 40 years brings with it a high level of automation that requires submariners to change their mindset. The S-70 submarines were designed in the 70s and built in the early 80s, which led us to think that the technology had become outdated compared to the other submarine fleets. The Spanish submarine fleet will strengthen its abilities in three specific ways with the arrival of the S-80. The first improvement that we will see is the integrated combat system. This is the brain of the platform, integrating all the sensors and weapons needed for an appropriate response to any threat. It was developed by Navantia Sistemas, the design authority for the Integrated Combat System Core, in collaboration with Lockheed Martin. It contains all the integration software and is operated from 7 consoles that are used to control sensors and carry out weapons launch sequences. The second improvement is the IPMS, the Integrated Platform Management System, that allows the crew to operate the navigation, propulsion, power generation systems, masts, and periscopes, among other things, while on board or remotely. This in turn maximizes autonomy and reduces manning by almost 50%. Up until now, these operations have been carried out by the S-70 submarines in a somewhat traditional manner. And the third major improvement in terms of its ability is the so-called air-independent propulsion system. This will enable the submarine to generate electrical energy at any depth and therefore reduce the need to come to periscope depth and expose its masts in order to recharge the battery, something which results in it jeopardize its main quality, stealth. AIP is based on a fuel cell system where H2 and O2 are combined to produce energy. This system will allow the S80 to stay deep underwater for much longer, improving its stealth and allowing it to remain undetected by the enemy. Also improve its ability to listen, which is achieved with a set of sonar produced by Lockheed Martin and SAES, that is the Sociedad Española de Electrónica Submarina. This makes the S80 a high-performance submarine for underwater and surface warfare. Its detection equipment includes a hull sonar, prank sonar, obstacle and mine detection sonar, and towed sonar. It should be remembered that the sonar is a submarine's most important sensor, and that which will allow it to detect, follow, and obtain a firing solution on the enemy. It will also assist safe navigation and is vital to carrying out maneuvers to climb to periscope depth. Furthermore, in order to reduce the radiated noise, improvements were made in several areas. For example, optimizing the hydrodynamic shapes of the hull and appendages minimize the amount of noise they create. With respect to the propulsion system, a low noise propeller has been designed alongside the stern shapes and vibration test shaft line. An acoustic test was also carried out of the airborne and structure-borne noise levels of everything that creates noise on board, like machinery, the main engine, diesel generators, pumps, and any rotating equipment. The accommodation spaces have been improved and optimized for greater comfort and mixed gender crews. The new development will also include improved communication, radar, periscope, and electronic warfare capabilities. Finally, very important, the living conditions have also improved compared to the S80 submarine, which is also important for patrol that lasts up to 45 days.
So this is very interesting. Let's talk a little bit about the evolution of the Cartagena shipyard from Peril to the S80. What was it?
Yeah, so imagine the S80 launching ceremony in April 2021 marked the completion of a cycle that began over 130 years ago, when the very first submarine able to fire torpedoes was launched in 1888 in the city, this very city of Cartagena. So a centenary background in submarines, that's something unique. So the first completely Spanish submarine has now begun a series of water tests and will be delivered to the Navy in a few months' time. This milestone comes after decades of extensive experience in building this type of vessels and after years of independent work to develop a system that is particularly complex and, in this case, unlike any other in the world, thanks to the advanced technology it will incorporate. Up until the start of the S80 program, the submarines built by Navantia had been designed by third parties. Specifically, the latest submarines used by the Navy were built using a design by the French company DCN. The relationship between DCN and Navantia was first established with the successful construction of the S-60 and S-70 submarines. In this respect, the positive relationship between the two companies resulted in a protocol on the 3 April 1991, in which they agreed to collaborate on the design and development of a new series of submarines, the Scorpen class. In 1997, an Scorpen began to be designed for Chile, and 16 December of that same very year, they won the contract to build two submarines for the Chilean Navy. This meant extraordinary international success and cemented the relationship between the two companies. This relationship was signed in a new contract with Malaysia in 2002, and the subsequent technology transfer agreement for the construction of six submarines in India in 2005. These are currently being built at the public MDL shipyard in Mumbai. Navantia provided detail engineering and an integrated logistics support package. The first vessel has been in service since 2017. The program also included the supply of various equipment for the six submarines. The S80 program represents the full independence of Navantia as a submarine designer, builder, and maintainer. The S81, already sailing in the Mediterranean Sea, is now direct proof that Navantia has become a designer and builder of submarines, adding Spain to the small number of countries capable of such a task. Reaching this milestone only reinforces our strong commitment to providing Spanish Navy with a vessel capable of meeting the challenges of the 21st century. The S80 is the culmination of Spain's long history with this type of vessel and materialized in the form of improved stealth and advanced technology. With the S81, Navantia now has its own exportable design in a new category of products. S80 is not the end, as Navantia is already thinking about the S80 next generation. Navantia has more than 100 years of submarine experience in domestic and international markets, and we plan to celebrate future centuries anniversaries. You will be invited, John.
I hope so. I'd love to see your beautiful country. You've been listening to Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. And we have been talking about the first electric submarine. And our special guest has been Sol Garrido. She is Key Account Manager in North America, Navantia. And we've covered a lot of really interesting topics today. The first successful electric battery-powered submarine, what led to the invention, why it was revolutionary, how it's evolved, and of course, the future with Navantia. Navantia will be at the Deep Blue event on November 2nd. And Sol, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been very interesting.
Thank you very much, John. It was my pleasure.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.